Good morning. So if you were here last week, you know what this is. If you were here last week,
hello,
right? you were here at the scene of a crime, the death of an inner tube. And what's funny about this is so many people voiced to me and some of us here that we left them in attention on purpose. Because what I told you beginning of last week, if you were here, that we have one thing we want to get done today, and that is that we're going to make a stand, we're going to stand up from the lazy river, and no more floating. But then at the end, I did like a switcheroo, because I said, we're going to do that, and then we're going to pop our inner tube, right? And so what people walked away, and they were like, I had one guy come at me afterwards and be like, you did not explain that well enough. I was like, hi, I'm Jake. Nice to meet you. and I was like, honestly, you're right. And we're doing something different with this series where it's not like four different sermons, but it's one two-hour long sermon cut up between four different weeks. And so today is actually going to pick up right where we left off last week with this guy. And so today is basically, you know, how you go about doing this. If you weren't here, let me back up and explain a little bit. You see, last week we started this series called Floating. And in it, we said that for many people, they spend years, decades of their life floating through life. And this last week, man, that connected with so many people. And I've had so many conversations with people who were like, I floated for years. I floated for decades. I floated for my entire life. And that is both exciting and encouraging, and it is, you know, challenging. Because I want to come alongside, you know, if you're somebody who feels like, man, I've floated for a while now, what next? That is an awesome responsibility. It's great. I'm excited. I'm excited that we'd be part of a community that has levels of conversation that open and that honest. At the same time, though, like there are people who, like we talked about last week, who live their lives in sort of this metaphorical lazy river where they just kind of go around in the same cycle and they find themselves back at the same spot and it's relaxing and it's fun and the water is cool and the air is warm and a lazy river is a great afternoon, but it's no way to live. And we talked about that last week. You know, we said last week that this quote by this guy named C.S. Lewis who says, if you go through life seeing through things, if you see through everything, you can't see anything, because if you see through something, you see through that thing, you see through that thing. The point of seeing through something is seeing something through it. And so if you see through everything, you actually end up seeing nothing. And so this is what we did last week, and we said we're going to make it stand, we're going to no longer float. You know, we said that it's your direction and not your intention that will determine your destination. This is all coming back to us, right? If you were here last week, this is all familiar. And we said the next thing we have to do, we have to pop our inner tube. We're going to stand up and say, I'm not going to float anymore. And then I had a knife on stage and I popped this bad boy. By the way, we had conversation before service with like the worship team. Do we think it's going to like pop like a balloon? Do we think it's going to like, you know, slowly? That'd be not dramatic. And so I like, you know, surgery, like big rip, you know. I know how to handle that. We're going to tear a big hole in this bad boy. So that's what we did last week. But today we're going to talk about, well, what does it mean to pop our inner tubes? Like if we found ourselves floating and the parts of our lives that enable us to float. You know, if you've been floating for a while, if you have not been living life with intentionality in every aspect, or if you walked away and you felt like God was brought up like specific parts of your life where you were floating, chances are you've been floating for a while and there are reasons why you're floating. You know, maybe it's destructive habits. Maybe it's past hurts. You know, maybe it's your family of origin and your family, there was some real unhealth and, you know, cycles of anger or vengeance or unforgiveness or whatever. And you still kind of walk in those cycles. Maybe it's this, your life is marked by moving from purchase to purchase to purchase. Maybe it's food. Maybe it's some other addiction. Like that doesn't, you don't, I can't, like it's really fun and engaging to pop an inner tube, but the actual act of that in your life, it's more difficult than that. And so how do we move forward from that? Is what we're going to do today. You know, there's a passage we're going to talk about this today, and it's Ephesians 5. And so if you have a Bible, I invite you to turn there. And if you don't, then there's some in the back. If you don't own a Bible, the Bible's in the back. You can keep that. You can take that home with you, and you can own that. But it's Ephesians 5. And we're going to talk through Ephesians 5 today, starting in verse 14. And Ephesians 5, 14 says this. I'm going to turn there. I'm at 14b. Awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. What I love about this passage is it starts out with that little bit, and like sometimes preachers will do these things, will they read verses, like short chunks of them, and it'll say, this verse says this, and it applies this small little verse, like this larger area of your life. And you're like, that was really convenient. I don't think that verse says that, right? But this one, what I love about it is it starts with the same preamble we did last week. Like last week we said, hey man, if you are floating through life, then it's time to make a stand. Like it's time to no longer float. And this guy starts out with, awake, O sleeper. It's like the same thing. He's like, hey, if you've been sleeping through your life, it is time to wake up. He starts out with the same preamble we did. Actually, then he's, sleeper, by the way, though, is a term that happens in the Bible several times. If someone is dead, but they're not going to like stay dead. So it says, awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead. If you're like into, you know, zombie shows, this is like your moment. Like if you're like a zombie movie or show person, this is, he's talking, he's basically like, if you're a zombie, if you're like, you know, if you're just going through life, not a care, that's like thinking, zombieing your way through life, wake up, you know, rise up from the dead, cut it out. Like if you're like a The Walking Dead person, this is your moment. So anyway, awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead and Christ will give you light. Verse 15. So be careful how you live. And when I was a child, I went to a church and we did this thing. We had a translation of the Bible called the King James Version. I don't know if you're familiar with that at all. And in the King James, this is one of those verses where the King James interpretation is probably the closest to the original language. And in that particular translation, so be careful how you live is translated walk circumspectly. Or other translations might say walk carefully. And circumspectly is circle, and, circle. And then speckly is spectacles, look. And so what he's basically saying here, and he says, carefully, walk circumspectly. What he's doing is he's saying, as you take steps, do so carefully. You know, take a step, look around, look in the circle. All right, this is how you should live. And so I wanted to demonstrate that for you guys. So I've got a friend of mine, Josh, who's going to come up and be my guinea pig for a second. And he's right here. So here, Josh, if you could come right here and sit right there for a second. And then Josh, in the meantime, while I'm talking to them, what I need you to do is blindfold yourself and take off your shoes. So, yeah, by the way, he volunteered for this. Whatever order you can manage that. So he volunteered for this, just so you know. He didn't know what was coming, but he knew that he was going to be my guinea pig today. So thank you, Christine. That's his lovely wife, his better half, yeah, right? And as he's getting ready, the goal, Josh, by the way, is all I want you to do is walk to me. Super simple. Follow my voice. When I say go, what I want you to do is just merely walk to me. Is that manageable? Yeah. All right. One thing they can see that you can't is that I'm holding a bin of Legos. Have you ever stepped on a Lego before?
Yes.
Yeah, he has kids. So, all right, so what we're doing. Very good. All right. So what I need you to do right now is stand up and walk to me. Yep, I'm right in front of you. Now, what are you experiencing right now?
Pain.
Okay, good. All right, you're almost halfway there. That was a good step. That was an okay step. Yeah. Oh, that one hurt. Okay, very good. All right, I'm right in front of you. All right, you can take the blindfold off. All right, now hand me that. You can walk around the Legos back to your seat. Yeah, let's give him a hand. He's a good sport. Yeah, now what I want you to do is I want you to walk through the Legos to me circumspectly, carefully, intentionally. Give him a hand. All right, thank you. You're all done. Thank you. You're a good sport. I appreciate it. All right. And so, all righty. Appreciate it. And so what I love about that is he walked to me. He was going like, he was, as the metaphor, as the allegory goes, he was walking through life. And he was not walking circumspectly. He was not walking carefully. And he paid for it. Right? And he stepped on Legos. You saw him wince and respond to that. And he was a good sport. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. He didn't know what he was going to do, but he knew he was going to be a guinea pig today. And the second time he walked through the Legos, though, he was doing what this verse says. He was walking circumspectly. He was walking carefully. He was being careful how you live. If you keep going in this verse, I love the next verse because it reinforces this even more. It says, don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. And so often in our lives, as we're going through our life, we take a step and we realize, oh my goodness, I should have taken that step. That was the wrong step. And so many times in the Bible, what you have is the Bible frames two types of people. You have foolish people and you have wise people. And then the wise people act like this, the foolish people act like this. You know, another verse that was going to appear in the Bible now, in the screens now, from Proverbs, it says this. It says, a prudent person or a wise person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. Now, he volunteered to go blindly on and suffer the consequences. But this struck me this week as I was thinking about this verse, about this difference between wise people and foolish people. And this is funny and it's engaging and it's this metaphor that makes sense, but it's not funny when it's you. And this verse right here, it's like the difference between a wise person and a foolish person is the wise person changes their trajectory and the foolish person just keeps going in the same direction, even though they've probably walked that direction before. And I thought about it a lot. Like, why in life do we make a mistake and then make it again? And then make it again? You know, and why are we so often the simpleton who goes blindly on and suffers the consequences, and then we go blindly on again and suffer those same consequences? And why do we constantly do that? I mean, I've done it before, probably you've done it before, where something was unavoidable. And we thought, you know, it would never happen to me. I'm the exception. Or maybe it sounds like someday he will change. I know he's been this the entire time I've known him, but someday he'll change. Or someday I won't overeat. Or someday I won't undereat. Or someday I'll get past this addiction. Or someday I won't spend my money like an idiot. Or someday I will become the parent I'm intended to be. Or someday I'll become the spouse that I have always intended to be. You know, why is it that at work, you can find yourself going over to the same cubicle with the person who you're kind of secretly attracted to, and it's harmless. There's no harm done, but you kind of find yourself meandering towards that person's cubicle day after day after day. Now, why is it we do stuff like that? And the simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. I mean, in our heart of hearts, we know that we're like, we are walking over Legos and we're walking towards destruction and we're walking towards consequences, but we still take steps. Why do we do that? You know, basically, it's the self-deception of someday. You know, we all live with this self-deception of someday. Like, someday I'm going to be that person. And someday, like, my life is just going to make this magical turn. And someday I'm going to wake up. I'm going to be a different person. I'm going to have a different course. And, you know, honestly, like, I empathize. Like, it is easier to ruin bad choices than to ruin good choices than to correct bad ones. Like, if you've been making a couple good choices in a row and you make one really bad one, you can undo good choices. So to really sort of walk wise, to walk prudent, to not be like the simpleton, to not have the self-deception of someday, like, you have to be really consistent. And consistency is hard because we're human. I get that. I understand that. This isn't me talking. This is God. And he's saying, man, if you're going to be a wise person, if you're going to walk through life circumspectly, intentionally, You're going to have to see that sometimes we self-deceive, and that this self-deception of someday, it is destructive. It will not end with you where God has called you to be. A prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on. Let's keep reading. He says, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. And the word opportunity here, actually, it's this word that comes from the Latin word, which means towards the port. And the original word opportunity, it means towards the port. And it was when like a sailors would be out in the ocean and the wind would die down. And you had to wait for your opportunity. When the wind had died down, what you do is you aim your sails towards the port, and so that when the wind kicks up again, you are ready for it. Like the opportunity has arrived and the wind kicks up and you're already ready for that moment. This is what the word opportunity means. It means towards the port. And so he says, make the most of every opportunity. You know, the other day, my wife and I and my son were watching a TV show, and two of the characters had been friends in the TV show, but they hadn't been like romantically involved. And there was this moment in the TV show when they realized that they both had romantic feelings for each other. And so the two characters in the TV show, they kissed for the first time. And my wife, she goes, she elbowed me, and she was like, are you going to say something? Like this like teaching moment here? And so I paused the show, and I was like, hey, man, like, you know, they realize, I'm talking to my son now, he's 11. I was like, what you have here is you have two people, and they're realizing their romantic feelings for each other, and like they kissed, but they went separate ways. And, you know, that's probably healthy. There's probably, you know, that's something that we, you know, at a certain point in your life down the road, that there's probably health, and that's probably within, you know, boundaries. So, man, awesome. And so we pushed play, and then, like, they had walked out of frame and then, like, came back and continued in things that we would not. And, like, we've had to pause it again, like, make the most of that opportunity. All right, so right now we're moving past where we'd be comfortable. Let's have sails towards the port in this moment too, like this moment, and maybe not where we'd want you to be. So fast forward faster, you know, to those moments where we're awkward, but he's like super awkward, right? But we want him to be this certain type of guy. You want him to be a certain type of person. And if you're a parent, like you want to raise your kids, you know, they are spiritually and emotionally and relationally healthy. And so you look for teaching moments. You keep your sails towards the port where you're always waiting for that moment, that opportunity to speak truth, to speak life, to give wisdom. And the thing is, that's funny and it's an engaging thing, but that sort of like sails towards the port idea, I mean, it happens in all areas of life. You know, and we talked about, you know, popping our inner tube and how we can float through all areas of life. And God has something, he has a life that he has created you for and gifts he's given you, and he asks you to use those. And the thing about life is, if you are floating through an area of life, that area of life impacts all areas of your life. Like if you are relationally wrecked, but you're physically strong, you're not healthy. If you're emotionally wrecked, but you know, like you're spiritually, you're still like in your word and you're praying, like it's still going to come out and you're not gonna be able to have impact in people's lives because you're emotionally unhealthy. And so really what he's talking about, he's saying, have your sails towards the port in all areas of life, because all areas of life feed in, and health multiplies to health in other areas. And so in all areas, financially, have your sails towards the port. Spiritually, always be ready in the moment to acknowledge God in an aspect of your life. Relationally, have your sails towards the port. Make the most of every opportunity. Let's keep reading. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. And this one right here, this verse right here, at first glance, it's super unhelpful. Like really, really unhelpful. And I had conversations about this last week too, where people were like, man, like you talked about God giving you a new vision for your life. And I want that. Like I am waiting for, like I talked about last week, of God whispering into your ear, you know, a new vision for your life. You know, get out of that lazy river and have this new vision for your life. And I have people tell me like, yes, whatever that is, I'm waiting for that to happen. Like God, if God speaks, I will be obedient. And so he's going through this and he has these challenging phrases and he says, walk circumspectly, you know, make the most of every opportunity, you know, and this is like, it's challenging, but at the same time, like it's very, very practical. It's very, very Monday morning. And then he ends it with this thing. He says, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And you're like, that's not super helpful, right? He's like, his big command is understand. Whatever you do, understand what the will of the Lord is. And you're like, I wish I did. Thank you. Not helpful. I would like to understand what the will of the Lord is. I came here to understand what the Lord is. And your big suggestion is understand. Great. Thank you, Paul. That's very helpful. I want to understand, and your suggestion is to understand. That's great. But what he has done so far is he has set you up to understand. Like it feels like this direction shift. You know, he's like, walk carefully, make the most of every opportunity, be very intentional in how you live. Keep your sails towards the port. Understand. You see, what happens in life, sorry, camera guy, is as we're going through life, I'm going to have shoes on. I know, you're jealous. As you walk through, like you step on the Legos and you pay for it. But if you do what he says to do, if you walk carefully, if you redeem the time along the way, you know, you know, Proverbs says this. Let me show you Proverbs here. 3:6 says, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. So if, as we're going through, as we're walking through, as we're being carefully, if we seek his will, if we acknowledge him every step we take, along the way we say, God, is this the step you want me to take? Is this the step you want me to take? Is this the step you want me to take? Like this is a promise that we can rely on. If along the way, if we walk with intentionality, if we walk carefully, if we redeem the time, if we keep our sails towards the port as we're moving, if we seek his will as we're moving, he will be faithful and respond. It's like Peter and Jesus, when Peter was in the boat and Jesus was on shore. It was this moment where Peter was in the boat and Jesus was walking out to the boat on the water. And he calls Peter to him. And Peter's like, wait, me out there? Like, I got to go out there to you? And he's like, yes, Peter, you come to me. The act of walking on water was not in Peter's strength. The step out of the boat was. When you want to honor God with your life, when you want to seek him, when you want to pop your inner tube, when you say no more floating in life, the strength to do that is his strength. But the first step will always be yours. And so if you want to know what the will of the Lord is, he says, understand what the will of the Lord is. What he's saying is, all right, the first step is always going to be yours. Walk with intentionality. Redeem every moment. And along the way, he will help you understand what his will for your life is. And the thing is, like when we talk about things like the will of the Lord and God's best for our life, and it kind of feels, honestly, it kind of feels like this mysterious thing that the only like super spiritual, like really spiritual people talk about God's will and God leading them. And the rest of us are like, well, I'm just kind of here and I'm stepping on Legos, right? This is where we find ourselves. But what he's saying is there's always a first practical step that you have to take. And the strength for the journey along the way after that is his. So in this moment, if you're like, Jake, like I have been floating through life and I get what you're saying, it's time to stand up, to pop my inner tube and move on. Like I get that, I understand. Like, but what next? What's my next thing? It is this. It is from this moment on, Be very intentional. Be very careful how you walk. And as you take a step, say, God, is this the step you would have for me? He has promised that if you do this, he will be faithful and guide you. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. If he's made you a promise, he will be faithful to keep that promise. So hold him to his promise. Holding him to his promise is not a lack of faith, it's showing faith. So if you're like, Jake, I would love to stop floating. I would love to pop my inner tube. What do I do? First step is always yours. The second step is his. Say, God, is this the step you'd have me to take? Can I walk intentionally? Can I walk carefully? All right, this is the step you'd have me to take. Is this the step you'd have me to take? Is this the step you'd have me to take? The first step is always yours. The second step is always his. And I want to close with this. This is a really sort of very practical example. And if you haven't noticed, this series, we want to sort of in your life practically. We want it to affect your Monday morning. You know, in my family, in my life, we used to, on a month-to-month basis, and my wife can attest to this because she's the one who keeps the books in our house. Like, 1 month, we'd have, like, slightly more money than we needed, and so we'd live it up, we'd go out to eat, and the next month, we wouldn't have quite enough, and we'd have to put part of that month on credit cards, and we don't know why it happened, but it just happened this way. And the next month, we'd have a little bit more than we need, we'd live it up, we'd go out to eat, and the next month, we wouldn't quite have enough, right? Very accurate. How long did we live this way? 7 years, right? I was just like, we have a little bit more, a little bit less, a little bit more. And we don't know why it was. It just was. That was the way it was. And so what we do is we had a family meeting and we said, all right, we have to at some point walk intentionally. And so we made a plan. We started this thing, this app called You Need a Budget. And every purchase we make, I would like to say we put it in, but my wife puts most of them in. All of them in, right? Right, but we made a plan, right? And so we began to walk with intentionality. But as we began to walk, we realized, man, like it's not just about us having money and paying our bills. Like we want to live generous lives. We want to live lives marked by generosity. So God, how would you have us to use our finances as a family? And so it starts out with this very practical step. But along the way, if we honor him with this step, you say, God, is this the step you'd have me to take? Yes, I want you to live generously. Well, what does living generously look like, God? Well, I want you to support this ministry. I want you to support that ministry. I want you to support the church. I want you to do this. I want you to give this money away to these people. All right, well, what does this look like? Well, this person, you know, and then what happens if you have this generous heart, then people's situations come up and their needs come up. And you're like, man, that's a need that I can meet. God, led me to meet this need of yours. You see, to walk by God's will, to stand up and no longer live this floating life. It always starts with a practical step. And after you take that practical step, you say, God, what would you have me to do? And this thing that feels mysterious and spiritual and beyond, it becomes just part of your everyday rhythm of walking in God's will. You know, it's this thing that honestly, people talk about it, like living in God's will and being in line with who he has you to be. And we talk about it and we talk about it and we talk about it. And maybe you felt like it was this thing that was out of reach. But I'm challenging you today. It is not this out of reach thing. It's not this thing that only the super spiritual people do. It starts with some intentionality. It starts with acknowledging him. It starts with seeking his will as you walk with intentionality. When he says, understand what the will of the Lord is, he's just told you how to do it. Be careful how you walk. Redeem the time. Seek his will. And your life will be marked by God's will. It seems simple. It is incredibly hard. Most people aren't willing to do it. They're not willing to give every moment and every decision to God along the way. But we will. We can. God is calling us to it. So I invite you today to take that first step to seek his will. See if he will show up. He has promised he will. So you can have faith that he keeps his promises. Let's pray. God, I am... It is this sort of funny passage where it seems so practical, it seems so everyday. Like we expect things like your will to always be this thing that we desire and we want to move towards, but it's this big spiritual mystery. But when it comes right down to it, the first step is a practical one. It's a Monday morning step. You know, we seek your will, we start out with taking a practical step. And so God, honestly, as we are saying that we're not going to float anymore, and we're popping that inner tube, that first initial rip of the inner tube is always our step. So as we are in this moment seeking you, God, I would ask you to make very, very painfully clear for all of us here if there is some sort of physical, practical thing that you would have us to do. And as we're making that step, that we would acknowledge you in that step. And we are standing with anticipation, waiting for you to be faithful, to keep your promise, and we know that you will. You know, God, we as a community, we want to be obedient to you. We want to walk in your footstep. We want to be the people you've called us to. And that always kind of seems out of reach. But like Peter, we are going to step out of the boat. You've called us. The first step is ours. And you'll handle the rest. So we will rely on you. We are always in need of you. We are dependent upon you. And we love you because you first loved us. So thank you so much. In your name, amen.